Ruth chapter number 2, verse number 5, "Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." You can be seated. And let's pray. Father, give us wisdom, understanding. Lord, help us to see the things that we need to see tonight, hear the things we need to hear. I pray the Spirit of God would direct our thoughts, our minds for a little while, and Father, may we go out more equipped to do a service for God than we ever have been, and I pray, God, you'll give us victory in our soul, spring in our step, and Lord, joy in our heart as we begin to serve and serve you more after this night. And I pray, God, that we might spend our life just for the cause of Christ. We'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, looking with me tonight, we'll look at some things, and we'll break them down. Verse number 5, I want you to look at something in verse number 5, and there are several characters in verse number 5. We're not going to deal with all those tonight. We'll deal with some of them at different times. First of all, it said, then said who? Boaz. See it? That's character number 1. Unto his servant. That's another character, the servant. And then it said that was set over the reapers. We haven't talked about the reapers much yet. We will in the future. Whose damsel is this? So there's 4. Boaz, the servant, the reapers, and the damsel. Now, mentioning this up front, and I won't spend a whole lot of time on this tonight, but in verse number 5, he's talking about whose damsel is this. That's the first time that she's mentioned. A damsel is a young woman. She's in the field, and she's different. He hadn't noticed her before. Boaz has not noticed her. And so she's got permission. We talked about that in previous lessons. And so we find that she's got in the field by permission. And she's called a damsel. Matter of fact, going verse number 6, it said, And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel. There's a second time it's mentioned. The early parts, when Boaz is around Ruth, he's called her a damsel. If you get down in verse number 8, you noticed I read it to you a while ago. It said, Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not my daughter? She's called a damsel, then she's called a daughter. And down in verse number 14, if you will, in verse number 14, And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, Come thou hither and eat of the bread. So what's happened here, we'll find out she's a diner. She's eating, amen, at the table. So she's a damsel, a daughter, and a diner. And that's in the right order. You said, well, it didn't say diner in there. No, but it did say she dips, see. And dip thy morsel. And I didn't want to call her a dipper. You might get the wrong idea. Amen. But she was a diner. She dined at the table. Amen. I remember back when I was a boy, when they talked about somebody dipping it, they talked about somebody with snuff running out their mouth. And some of you had grandparents that done that, I'm sure. Amen. But anyhow, looking back at verse number 5, we're going back and look at that just a minute and see something here. I want us to really pay particular attention for one thing here, one particular person in verse number 5. Then said Boaz unto his, notice that word, servant. Servant, that's important. Now notice what the service job was. It said that was set over the reapers. He was, I guess, the supervisor. He was the overseer. He was the boss. And he was over the reapers. Now if you look at it, it's mentioned again in verse number 6. And the servant, and it tells us again, that was set over the reapers, answered. So we find that he's mentioned twice in these 2 verses. His name is not mentioned. You will not find his name mentioned. Now, a servant is unnamed here, and he's got an important job. Isn't it amazing today that you've got somebody that's got such a big job? It's a pretty good-sized job to take care of all the reapers and make sure they're reaping in the right place, is it not? He don't even have a name. Amen. That wouldn't fit in too good in our average church today. Brother, if we're going to do anything, we want to have a name on it. Amen. We want to be recognized for it. But there's three places in the Bible when you find a servant or a ruler or somebody or in charge, somebody's in charge. Their name's not mentioned. We're going to talk about them three tonight in particular. The first one, I want you to take your Bible and go over to Genesis chapter 24. Now, who's this servant in Ruth representing? We're going to talk about that when we get back to it. But in Genesis chapter 24, we're going to dwell here just a little bit and let our fingers walk through the pages of God's Word and notice these things, and you can underline and mark and do what you can here to pick up these and notice what the Bible's talking about in the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, we're finding tonight that the servant, if we find a servant here, he's going to do a job. His job is to go get a bride for Isaac. Amen. That's his job. So reading with me in verse number 2 of chapter 24, we'll read off and on several different verses, and I'll point out some things about this, and then we'll kind of get it together and see what it means. He said, "And Abraham said unto his eldest servant. Now, you don't find his name mentioned. His name is not mentioned. His eldest servant of his house. Now, what did he do? It tells right there. That ruled over all that he had. Now, he had an important job, did he not? He didn't have a name. Amen. And that's significant. There's a reason why he did not call him by name. Look down in verse number 10. We're going to skip down there, but we're going to come back to some of the others. Verse number 10, "And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed." Now notice these next words. "For all the goods of his master were in his hand." He was a responsible person. He had a responsible job. He had an important job. Matter of fact, at this particular place, he's got the most important job. His job is to do what? Go get a bride for Isaac, the son of Abraham. Now that's important. Now we're going to look at this thing in a minute because I want to show you a doctrinal truth in this and also a dispensational truth, if you will, while we're looking at those things. And so in verse number 5, it said, "And the servant." You see that? In verse number 9, it said, "And the servant." And if we go on reading in verse 9, it said, "And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham," which was a customary thing when they made an oath. And it said, "Under the thigh of Abraham," notice those next two words, "his master." Now the servant recognized his master. It's important that servants recognize who their master is. And a servant must be submissive to the master. And the master must have full control of the servant and vice versa. And in the sense that one must have complete obedience and the other have complete control. And so we know that tonight that's important. If we don't have that, and there's got to be an allegiance. There's got to be an allegiance between the master and the servant. Amen. Now, Abraham trusted the servant with everything that he had. He sent him on a journey, gave him everything that he needed, gave him his instructions, and he trusted him to fulfill exactly to the T what he sent him for. Amen. That's complete trust. Now, we're looking at verse number 10. It said, "And the servant." And in that verse, you'll find it said, "For all the goods of his master." You see, that he had a master. Now, we get down in verse number 12, we find the servant is speaking. Now, we don't know what his name is. He said, and he said, "O Lord God of" what? "My master." Amen. Now, he's getting in more impersonal position. He's talking about him as my master. Now, we're going down a little bit further in verse number 12. He said, and he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master." He didn't even pray for himself. Do you see that? This master, when he prayed, this servant, when he prayed, said, "I want you to bless my master, show kindness to my master." Didn't say, "Lord, help me." Don't help anybody else. He just said, "Lord, bless and show kindness to my master." That's total, that's total commitment, is it not? Amen. If you're going to take a journey like that, guess who you're going to be praying for? Not particularly your master. You're going to pray for yourself. Amen. Now, it's important we see these things. Now verse number 14, notice what it said, and let it come to pass that the damsel, now what we talk about over in chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6 of the book of Ruth, she's called what? First, a damsel, all right? Now notice how it goes. And then we're going down in verse number 14, at the end of it, the last two words, he's talked about my master. In verse number 16, he said, and the damsel. See, he's still talking about the damsel. He said, there's going to be a damsel come. We're going to pray that the damsel comes, and when she comes, and so forth, and that's going to be, and then he had laid out some things for us, said we're going to ask her for drink, and if she gives us something to drink, that's fine, and then if she turns around and feet and gives our camels water, we know that's the one. He laid that out before the Lord God. Now verse 17, and the servant ran to meet her, you see, when she came out there. Now looking down in verse number 23, after she's done fed the camels with water, after she's done gave him drink, look in verse 23, and said, is what the servant said, who's what? Daughter. Right in the same order as it is in Ruth chapter number 2. Amen. It's a damsel, then a daughter. Damsel, don't necessarily it means that you're saved. Amen. It's just somebody you know. But when it comes to the part of daughter, that puts you on respect of family. Got it? Amen. Are we not sons and daughters in the eyes of God tonight? Amen. There was a time we were not, but we are tonight. Then in verse number 24, and she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel. And so he goes on. Now in verse number 27, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of, again, my master. And then he goes on down in further in that verse and says, my master. Verse 27 again, three times in that verse, he said, my master. Then in verse 28, he talks about, and the damsel ran. And on in this chapter it goes. And as we go on, we'll find out that they go and meet the woman meets shows her son or her brother. They come out and meet each other. Then they go to her father's house. And in verse number 47, and I skipped to several places in there. Verse 47, and I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare before him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And then we find how the thing goes. But if you go down in verse number 54, it said, and they did what? Eat and drink, he and the men. So she became a diner. Amen. So we find it all basically the same thing. Now let's just look at this just a minute. If you want a doctrinal truth, a Bible doctrinal truth right here, who is this servant? Who's the type of? All right, the servant, this, let me give you this. Abraham, in the Word of God here, is classified as the Heavenly Father. I mean, he's a type of God Almighty. And Isaac is what? The son. He is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. In all the ways you find it, Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus. So we find tonight that the servant is the type of the Spirit of God. Amen. You find that tonight. Now, when the Spirit of God speaks and the Master, who in the world does the Holy Spirit magnify? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I have a problem with when we come to these charismatic folks who speak in tongues and do all the things that they do. They magnify the Spirit. Nowhere in the Word of God should we magnify the Spirit of God to the place that we put Him. And listen, there's no difference. And don't you get me wrong. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, one God, manifest in three persons, co-equal. All of them are God. All of them have a particular job. God the Father sent His Son to die. His Son came, and the Holy Spirit presents Him to you and me. They all have an equal job. They all have their own particular job. Now the Spirit of God in the church, when the Spirit of God comes, He does not come in the church to stir us up so that we'll magnify the Spirit. He comes in the church so that we'll magnify the Son of God. Always remember that. So you get to hearing people talk about, and then when I hear them talking about being baptized in the Holy Ghost, do you have the Holy Ghost and all? And when they get to, and we do if we've been saved. Listen to me. When they start magnifying what the Spirit does, and that we take it all from the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a doctrinal a statement tonight, or a doctrinal truth out of this 24th chapter of the book of Genesis. What? First, there's a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, co-equal, having different jobs. Now God, we always say not God, but Abraham sent them out as a type of God the Father. He sent them out to do what? Sent him out to get a bride. Jesus, and he's already been a type of this before when he was offered at what, 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, and he almost was taken, his life was taken when Abraham offered him. He's a type of the Son that gave himself. And now the servant has gone out, and he's bringing her back. And you're looking at this, as you get on down further in this chapter, and we're not dwell here long, because I want to look at some other things. He said in verse 57, they said, we will call the damsel and inquire her mouth. And this 24th chapter is a good chapter to preach on the old Jewish wedding. I've done that been years ago when I preached that before. And I don't want to get that out. Brother, I'll tell you, it's something when you get to seeing the old Jewish wedding and talking about it. But anyhow, we'll find that she made her choice to come back. And in verse number 61, and Rebekah rose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant, see, he's mentioned the servant all the way through, took Rebekah and went his way. Look in verse 65. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Now therefore she took a veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And what did the servant do? He brought the bride home to Isaac. Now what's the Spirit of God doing today in this day of grace? He's seeking out a bride. He's going to and fro up in this world through the preaching of the gospel, through the men of God. He's preaching the Word of God to call out a bride. And he's going to one day present the bride. I believe when the rapture of the church takes place, and this is a dispensational truth that you're going to find in this, when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise, the Holy Spirit, I believe, will go up with it, and they will meet the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's going to come down. We're going to go up, and we're going to do just what Rebekah and Isaac did. She lighted off the camel and run to him. But he came down the field to meet her. Brother, we're going to meet each other in the air. Amen. One of these days at the while. Do you see that doctrinal truth and the dispensational truth? Because this is preaching about that. Hey, you can even see the coming of the Lord here. Now, let's turn over into the 43rd chapter, chapter 43 of the book of Genesis. And you'll find similar to this same thing. And this is that's the first place you'll find the servant not mentioned. Here's the second place, and then the third, of course, is in the book of Ruth. He's not called a servant here so much. He's called the ruler or the steward. And we're going to look at this. He's the ruler or the steward here. We're going to chapter 43 of the book of Genesis. And go down with me in verse number 16. Now, this is the story of Joseph. You remember Joseph has been sold into slavery. He's made it well. He's down in Egypt, and he's come up in the light, and he is in a lot of control in Egypt. And his brothers don't know anything about him anymore. And so when they come down to get something, corn, out of Egypt to go back, he recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. There's a significance there. Joseph, of all people in the Bible, is one of the closest types that you'll find of the Lord Jesus as any other person of the Word of God. In other words, you'll find more types about Joseph. I don't know if you ever studied about him or not, but when you get it, you'll find more types in the life of Joseph than you will in any other person that corresponds to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to deal with those tonight. That's an entirely different subject. But we're dealing with this thing over here. Why is that servant not named over in the book of Ruth? And I'm giving you the thoughts here to put it together and show you what God does. And we're going to find out who He is in a little bit. And so we see here that what's happened in chapter 43, verse 16. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house. Now, if you've got a ruler of the house, he's in charge, is he not? Every one of these is in charge of something. They're in responsibility. I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit's in charge tonight. He's in charge of the church in guiding and directing through the men of God and through the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Brother, who's the director of this thing tonight? The Lord Jesus through the Spirit of God. We are indwelt by what? the Spirit. Amen. And the Lord Jesus dwells in us through the person of the Spirit. Now, he said, he spoke and said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. So what's happened? He's going to have his brothers there, and they're going to have a meal with him, and they don't recognize him. Now, what's going on? Verse 17, and the man, that's the ruler, and the man did as Joseph bade, and the man, again, brought the men into Joseph's house. Now, slip down to verse 19, and they came near to the steward. Now, he's called a steward. He's called the ruler, the man, and the steward of Joseph's house. And they commune with him at the door of the house. He's not named because he's a type of the Spirit of God that does not bring glory and honor to himself. Amen. I say that over and over and over in my life down through the years in preaching. The Spirit of God does not bring glory and honor to himself. He brings glory and honor to the Lord Jesus. Amen. I thank God for the Spirit of God. I know when the Spirit of God's around. I feel His touch. I know He's there. I've seen His moving. But the Spirit of God does everything through us to bring glory and honor to the Lamb of God. He wants to live Jesus. Because Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. There's no higher name than the name of Jesus, and therefore the Spirit of God will glorify the Lamb every time, always. Now, go a little bit further, you'll find what's happened as we come on down. And in verse number 23, it said in verse 23, and he said, peace be to you, fear not, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and he brought Simeon out unto them. Now this is still the servant. This is the ruler. This is the man. He's called he. Amen. 24. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. And they made ready this present against Joseph, came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. So what's happened? They go on. Look in verse number 34. And he took and sent messages unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs, and they drank and were merry with him. What he's done, he's reunited the family. And that's what the servant done here. He brought the family back together. That's what it's going to be done. Now, let me give you a little thought or two about this. Joseph was a man who's called, like a man called from a life of sin, and been set free. And then this servant, he's told them to go bestow gifts, and Joseph's already had it bestowed upon him. So the servant, now what he's going to do, he bestows gifts upon Joseph's family. You got that? He bestows those gifts and brings them in. And he prepares them for a meeting with Joseph. And that's what the Spirit of God's doing tonight in the hearts and lives of our church. He's bestowing gifts and blessings upon you and me and preparing our hearts that one day we're going to meet the one that we have not seen face to face. And who is it? The Lord Jesus Christ. And every single time there's a meeting in all these servants. Every single time. Now, I want to look at something else here about this servant. If you look at him in a way here tonight, you'll find that he was over everything. He was there. He had it. And he gave it away. And that's the way the Lord is with you and me. Thank God for that. He gave us everything, and we have nothing outside the Spirit of God has brought us to Christ. Now, we owe a lot to the Spirit of God. He brought us to Christ. He blesses us since we've come to Christ. He guides us while we're with Christ, amen, or in the service of Christ. And one day, He'll present us to Him. Amen. Can't hardly wait. How about you? Looks like some of you are not too excited, but amen. I'm looking forward when we are presented to Him. The Holy Spirit one day is going to stand before the Lord Jesus and say, here's the bride. I've gone and got them. The bride's not complete tonight. It's not complete. You know when the rapture takes place? When that last person makes up the bride of Christ. And that's when we're going to go in together. You can count on that. Now, we'll find Boaz in chapter 2 of the book of Ruth. Turn back there. And I'll give you three or four things here. We'll go home. Boaz, he's invited her to do some things, and he's given her some. He's in, and that's a type of being at the house of God. He said to this, down, look here in verse number 7. And she said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers. Now this is what she told the servant. And gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Now that phrase looks like it ought not have been put there, don't it? Just stop to think about that a minute. I like what the Bible does. It don't take nothing out. Everything's in there for a purpose. But just looking at it on the surface, let's look at it. It says that she tarried a little in the house. What's it mean by that? Okay, here's what it was. They had a place for them to take a rest place. That's where it was. See, the servant said to Boaz, she's been working. She's been working hard. She has not stopped until, in other words, until now. She's right now a little in the house. They have taken a break. And that's what it was. But the Lord put that in there. She's in the house. In the house would be a type of God put her in something. He's got her in, and this is a type of the church. He's put her in the church. God's got us in the house. Now, you said, how do you get that? Because down in the next verse, he tells her to do something. He said, I don't want you to get out of it. Now, the Lord's put us in the church. I believe God established a church on the earth. Amen. Amen. Now listen to me, half of you asleep. But listen, the church is God's institution. He established it. The Bible said He's the head of it. The Bible said the gates of hell would not what? Would not prevail against it. God said His Word is forever settled, and He said His Word would not return to Him void, and He said His Word would always be, it would never diminish. It'll always be. And so is the church. It's established with it. And so we find today that the church is what God uses. If anything's going to be done in this world in revival, in souls being saved, in hearts and lives changed, in homes being turned back to Christ, for a country to be turned back to Christ, it's going to come through the church. It ain't going to come through Washington. It's not going to come through politicians. It's not going to come through organization. We've got some good organizations that they put out, and if they'd have started, and they probably did start off right, but if they'd have just stayed with it, that's going in the right direction. But the only problem is it didn't have God in it. Amen. There's a lot of things, and a lot of people give a lot of things to charities. And there's a lot of good charities on the surface, quote, quote, out there today. But I don't believe God is in the middle of them things. I believe He wants us to give to the church, and the church is His establishment that He's chosen. And I go to my grave believing that. I've preached that in the... See, God established the church. So God wants us to get the church. Now here's some things He's done in verse number 8. He's given her some things to do. And He's told her after she's in the field, she's gleaning in His field. She's picking up what she can get from them. The reapers are dropping her some handfuls on purpose every once in a while, according to verse number 16. And we find that she's found grace in verse number 2, is it? In the eyes of Boaz. So she's in the right place. And God has put you and me in the right place. He's put us in the church. I'd rather be a part of the church as anything I know. A fellow told me one time in South Carolina, he said, there's two things going to get me in. Said, I'm a member of the Baptist church, and if a Baptist church don't get me in, said the Masonic Lodge is going to do it. And he believed both of them was, and I've got news for him, neither one of them will get him in. Amen. I'm glad I'm part of the Baptist church, but I'm glad I got in Christ's body first. Amen. I'm glad the Lord got me before the Baptists did. That's right. I've seen so many of the Baptists done made a mess up. And some of them done made a mess out of the Baptists. Vice versa. Amen. But I'm looking at this. And as I look at this tonight in verse number 8, here's what Boaz has given her some instruction. Now watch it. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to the not to glean in another field. Now, Ruth, listen, I want you to hear me and hear me well. I don't want you going anywhere else. I've got enough right here to take care of you. I don't want you getting out of the church, so to speak. That's what he's saying. I want you to stay right here in my field. Listen, if you want to stay where God wants you to be and be blessed by like God wants you to be blessed, you stay with the church. Amen. I'm not talking about stay with a preacher, not stay with a people. Stay with the church. A church especially is doing right with God. That's God's institution. It's holy. It's been established from above. And so let's stay with it. God said, I want you to get in the church and stay there. That's basically what He's saying in dispensational truth here. And so He's saying to her, now Ruth, you stay right here in this field. Don't you get out of this field, right here. And I believe you maybe pointed out where the limits were and where the boundaries were. And you remember I told you the other night, they didn't have fences and all that. They had rocks and stones and sometimes little furrows. And look, you stay within the boundaries of it. You stay in this. In other words, that's what Jeremiah come along and said, stay in the old paths. Ask for the old paths. Don't get out of it. Stay in the field that God's put you in. Don't get out. In other words, you make up your mind you're going to stay with the church. It don't get too easy sometimes. The church, I believe in the course of the time, in the days ahead, church is going to hit some rough water. Amen. I notice that there's so many of you here, you don't really think that. Some of you look and say, I've heard that all my life. But it's a little rougher now than it was 30 years ago when I started, 40 years ago especially. And we don't have the liberties in our church anymore. I guarantee you this, some of you young folks will never experience in this life, you'll never experience what I've experienced in days past in revival meetings and services when the Holy Ghost moved and people got saved. There's hardly nobody in this country now can tell you a time, I'm talking about if you're young, some of the older ones can, how did you go to a meeting in a week's meeting, how 10, 15, 20, 30, and 40, and 50 people saved in one week's meeting. And now you can have 15 meetings and not get one saved. Amen. And every once in a while, we get excited when we have a week's meeting and somebody gets saved in two or three, what we call recaps or rededications. And we think, oh, we're on fire. But I remember when people come to church to get saved. Now they come to church to get out. They come looking for some excuse to leave. But I remember when they come to church because they was under conviction and the people prayed them under conviction. They came to church because they couldn't sleep and they couldn't eat. And they was under conviction and they were disturbed and troubled. And they come to church to get the load off of them. And they got right with God. I remember, but some of you young folks have never seen it, never will see it, like I've seen it back in days past. So we're going to see some rough days ahead of us. They're coming. They're coming. So He's given her some good instructions here. The request is to stay pure and to stay consecrated and to stay separated. That's the first instruction. First thing is, He said, Ruth, you need to stay separated. You stay with the church. You don't need the world to help you. You don't need the township to help you. You don't need anything out there. You just stay right. Don't go anywhere else. Don't get past those confines that I put you in. You stay right where I've got you and stay clean. You don't need to change your lifestyle. Stay right with God. See? That's the first thing. Number two. By the way, I'll just throw this in. Samson would have done all right if he hadn't went to the world. He laid his head down in the lap of the world. Laid his head down in the lap of Delilah. She sheared his hair off and he lost his power. And they put out his eyes. Amen. And he died a shameful death. Now, let's go a little bit further. The second thing he says in verse 8, go not to glean in another field first, neither go from hence. Second thing, but abide here fast by my maidens. Number two, Ruth, I want you to get your fellowship with my maidens. Now what's God saying to us tonight in the church about this? I want you to get your fellowship with Christians. Make sure that your friends are Christian friends. Stay with the people that are like you are. Now, if you're going to have worldly friends, I'll guarantee you they're going to taint your mind. They're going to twist you and warp you. They're going to make you think a little bit different. And you're not going to stay in the field long if you've got friends who are outside the field. He said to her, you stay with my maidens. They're dedicated to me. They're getting everything they need. Their daily nutrition's taken care of. They've got a job. They've got some other things we'll talk about in just a minute. And said, you just stay right here close by my maidens. Take them for fellowship. You get to learning to love them. Hey, I want to tell you something. There's people in the church you don't love yet. You learn to love them. Amen. There's something in your heart that can't let you love them. You get to the place that you can get it out where you can love them. Now, there's just some people you will never love you and will never let you love them. But us, they are some like that. Amen. And I've just learned just to leave them alone. I shake their hand and said, how you doing? Had a good week. And I just keep a shouting and going on, and I ain't going to fuss with them. Understand? If I don't have to, I'm not gonna spend my time trying to keep it a goal. And I'm just saying to you, listen, we need to keep our fellowship correct. Sometimes our fellowship won't always be right, but we can get it right. Sometimes I ain't always agreeable. Sometimes you ain't always agreeable. But I'll tell you what, I ain't been married for 47 years without learning how to do some of that. I got some experience, but I can tell you a little bit about it. I ain't been married 47 years because I got my way all the time. And she ain't been married 47 years because she got her way all the time. It ain't been smooth sailing all the way. She'll tell you that right now, and I'll tell you quickly. Amen. It ain't been smooth sailing. But we've got along finally in the end. You understand what I'm saying? And church folks, we need to do that too. We need to have good Christian fellowship one with another. Stay close by my maidens. Keep your fellowship right. Number 3. Look in verse number 9. It said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. Now, Ruth, number 3, I want you to remember this. First, you stay in the field. You stay in the field where you're at. Second, you cherish Christian fellowship or with my maidens. Thirdly, I want you to keep your eyes on your work. Don't look and see what somebody else is doing. Don't look and see what they're doing over in the next field next to you. Don't look down the road and see what they're doing down at the next church. Don't look and see what they're doing down yonder at the next church. But you just get your eyes on the work that you're doing. Right? You stay with the work that you're doing. Don't even look to the right, to the left, but just get concentrated on what you're doing and stay with it. And don't let your eyes roam. You know yourself, you ever start looking, you said, why, preacher, I don't look. No, let me just remind you what happened. Have you ever heard anybody by the name of Eve? How many's heard of Eve, Sister Eve? Yeah. First man, Adam, and then there was Eve. That's right. Think about that. What the Bible said, she looked, she saw that it was good for food. What happened? She looked at the wrong thing. And if you ever get your eyes off what you're doing for God and start looking at something else, you're going to get in trouble. That's why he's telling her, you just watch what you're doing. Stay with what you're doing. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing, how they're doing it. You just make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. Do your job. Good advice, right? All right, number 4. Then he said here, have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? He said, look here. If you'll stay in this field, you stay close to my maidens, and you keep your eyes on this field alone. I've already charged my reapers and the men, the young men here, to not touch you, and I'm giving you my protection. Nothing, no harm, no danger is going to come to you, Ruth. That's what God wants. And I believe God's saying that to us in the church. We just stay with God in the church and stay with Christian fellowship and keep our eyes on what we do. And God said, I'll take care of you. I still believe that goes on today. Greater is He that's within us than what? He that's in the world. I believe God will take care of us if we do them things. Amen. We won't have to be running around somewhere down in the mouth. Most of the time we are griping and grunting and moaning and groaning. And what we ought to do is just get our eyes on the job that we've got to do and quit worrying about what everybody else... You know, we'll worry about what somebody else has got or what we ain't got. Or what... Most of the time, you know, we have some good things, and when we look around and see somebody has got something better in another area, we don't stop and think, hey, I've got something somebody else has got or hadn't got, and God's been good to me. We just always say, I ain't got none in. We always whine him. Well, let's just be satisfied with what we have. That's why Paul said, be content with your wages and all that other. Then he said the last thing, he said, and when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. What's he saying? He's saying, I want you when you get thirsty. Look, if you'll stay in my field, stay by my maidens, keep your eyes on what you're doing, I'll protect you and I'll provide for you. That's the reason David said, I was once young, now I'm old, never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God said, I'll take care of you. And what he's done now is he promised to quench their thirst. He said, I'll give you the gifts. And guess what? When God gives you something, and look, she had worked for this water herself, and she didn't earn it. She didn't even carry it. Did you notice that? He said, the young men are carrying the water for you. So they're drawing it. You get that water. Now, I looked at that. If you want to look at that, and I thought, this will make a good message. I'm not going to preach it, don't reckon, but this is a good thought to throw out. Those young men, reckon who they are. Those are the reapers. And we'll deal with that a little bit when we get there in that subject. But the reapers, who are they? They're the one that brings the harvest in. They're the ones that brings in, does the main, they do the work. Amen. They're like the evangelists and the pastors and the preachers. They're giving you some. God said, I'll feed you. God said, I'll feed you down at the house. I'll feed you. You stay in the field, I'll provide for you and I'll feed you. Amen. That's God's order. You can see the church right there all the way through the book of Ruth. It's as plain as a nose on your face. And I just like it. I just like it. I'll stop right there. Amen. That's enough to go chew on, I guess. Amen. All right, let's pray. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, come the instrument. Never like to close the service without giving some kind of invitation. And I pray tonight that God's helped you in such a manner that you have maybe looked at it. And if there's something in your heart that's not right, that you'll get it right. Amen. I pray that tonight. And if there's something that God spoke to you about, you'll get it settled. Right there where you are, seated, as they begin to play. Let's stand, please. Well, your heads are bowed, eyes closed, and they're playing. And as they play, there's something you need to get it settled. Come on. Right there where you're standing, you would ask God to do something.